It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Most Americans are concerned about the rising costs of healthcare and are looking for ways to cut costs. One way to cut costs and improve the quality and delivery of healthcare is to eliminate the middleman standing between patients and doctors and hospitals and suppliers. My next guest has spent a great deal of time thinking about healthcare and how it can be improved. Raph Weber is a Canadian-born entrepreneur, a registered employee benefits consultant, and the founder of MetaBid. MetaBid is a portal that allows a person or an employee to make an online request for best pricing on a medical procedure. He's also the author of a book, Rigged, How Insurance Ruined Healthcare and How to Fix It. Raph, welcome to the Be the People show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Swain. I'm happy to be here today with you.
So we have done shows in the past about healthcare, but it's been a while. Would you share with the audience how the presence of a middleman affects the cost they pay when they go out to get medical care?
Right. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. There are so many middlemen in an, you know, whether it's an employer-sponsored health plan or an individual health plan. One of the biggest ones that increases costs is what we call a preferred provider network. That's when insurance companies have, you know, pre-negotiated deals with providers to give a certain discount on certain procedures. Now, the discounts are all sort of, you know, fake, really. At the end of the day, what they negotiate is what they're going to pay for the procedure. Unfortunately, with no transparency, we as a patient don't know what the cost is, usually until about 7 weeks after we've had the care. So not knowing that cost doesn't allow us to make good decisions.
The preferred provider, if you're not using a preferred provider, you're using someone out of network. And if it's someone out of network, an insurance company that's out of network, that's when you really get stuck with the high costs. And you may go to a doctor and they are not in that system, and it may be the best doctor for what you're being treated for. So you can see how this could work to your disadvantage.
Exactly. That's a very good point. And the insurance companies, for whatever reason, want to steer you to certain providers and steer you away from others. And one of the ways they do that is by having a higher deductible and out-of-pocket cost when you go to a non-preferred provider. So they try to keep you going to the doctors that they want you to. And sometimes, you know, I've analyzed large amounts of claims, almost $3 billion worth of claims for one client, and they had a variance in pricing of 3,100% between the average and the high. For example, a CT scan in Tennessee, the median cost was $635, and the high was $19,800 for
kidding.
A simple CT scan.
$19,800?
No. Correct. That's 3,100%. And to put that into perspective, the median price of a car in the U.S. is $36,000. 31 times that is $1.1 million. So you wouldn't buy a Nissan for $36,000 and a Toyota for $1.1 million. But that's what's happening when people get a CT scan. The charges, like I said, are 31 times as much.
The company that's charging 3,100% as much, and so is this a hospital or a clinic? Or?
And there wasn't just one that charged $19,800. There were dozens that were, you know, over $15,000. Dozens of, and it's usually the hospitals that are the most expensive for imaging studies. The four most expensive words in healthcare are go down the hall. You know, if you're at a hospital and the doctor says, oh, you need an MRI, just go down the hall, you could get stuck with a much higher bill. We had a client of ours in Houston that needed a fetal MRI. She was pregnant. She needed a fetal MRI. And she called a hospital, a local hospital, and they quoted her $2,200. And that would have come out of her deductible because it's January. She hasn't used up any of her money yet. So she would have been out of pocket $2,200. She called us and we got her the same procedure for $650. Now, at $650, the health plan says, okay, your copay is only $100 because you're saving the plan so much money, so we're going to reward you. So her choice was paying $2,200 at a hospital or paying $100, you know, for the same exact study. More and more employers are starting to say, you know, the cost of healthcare is going up so fast and deductibles are going up and copays are going up, and we've got to get this under control. Because healthcare costs are growing at, you know, 2 to 3 times the average cost of living. So employers are struggling to, you know, pay their employees a fair wage. And this is an interesting fact. I'm not sure if you knew this, but Starbucks actually spends more money on healthcare than they do on coffee beans.
No, I was not aware
Starbucks
of that.
Yeah. And once it gets to that point, that's getting pretty crazy. You know, I think General Motors also pays more on healthcare than they do on metal. So, you know, Starbucks is a healthcare company that makes coffee. It's not a coffee company that offers healthcare because, you know, their biggest line item, of course, is payroll, but their second biggest one is healthcare.
How did we get to this point? I mean, I'd like to know how it happened that the healthcare costs would exceed the cost of the product that a company is selling?
Well, we've had healthcare inflation for many, many years, and I go over it in my book. There was a wage freeze during World War II, and employers weren't allowed to increase people's wages, so they started offering health benefits as a perk because they could do that. They just couldn't increase their wages. Then in 1954, the IRS made healthcare deductions tax deductible. So now that they're tax deductible, all of a sudden it started growing even faster. So there's been a lot of things that have increased it, but mostly it's like you said at the beginning, the middleman. And the biggest middlemen, you know, in healthcare are the people that negotiate these secret contracts with providers and try to steer you to certain providers. You know, that have these huge variances that I just talked about between $635 and $19,800. Of course, the insurance companies make more money if you go for more expensive care than they do if you go for cheaper. So they don't have any interest in reducing the cost. They want to keep costs up, not bring them down.
Okay, we're going to a break. And when we return, we're going to learn more about how we got into this fix and then, before the show ends, the solution. Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Ralph Weber. And we're trying to figure out a way to save you as a healthcare consumer costs, and also to educate you a little bit about, not just you, me, and all of us, about how we got into the situation now with such rising health care costs. So, Ralph, hurry on.
Well, thank you. As I was saying before the break, you know, the middlemen increase costs, and we've actually done studies and we've shown that there's an inverse correlation between cost and quality. In other words, sometimes the more you pay, the lower the quality of the health care. And an easy way to sort of illustrate that is if you think about getting a knee replacement, you know, the four main costs are, you know, number one is what the actual surgeon gets paid. Number two, the time in the operating room, basically room rental of the operating room. Number three is the anesthesia. And number four is the number of nights that are spent in the hospital. Now, if you compare an experienced surgeon that does 500 knee replacements a year with an inexperienced one that does maybe one or two, the experienced surgeon will probably finish the surgery in about half an hour. He'll be in and out. He'll have, if a complication comes up, he knows exactly what to do. And that minimizes your time in the operating room, which is billed by 15-minute increments. It minimizes your time under anesthesia, which is also billed in 15-minute increments. And because you're only under anesthesia for half an hour, you don't have to spend the night in the hospital. An inexperienced surgeon might take an hour and a half or 2 hours to do the same surgery. So you've got more OR time that you're billed for, more time under anesthesia, which you're billed for. And because you're under anesthesia for 2 hours, you might have to spend a night or two in the hospital. So lower quality actually costs more in healthcare most of the time.
Ralph, is there a way to measure the complications that follow? Is there a correlation between the length of time spent in the hospital and complications for the patient?
I'm not sure if there's a direct correlation between complications, but there's certainly the longer you're in the hospital, the more you're exposed to sick people. Okay, the longer you're in the operating room with, you know, a surgeon that has cut you open, the more exposure you have to hospital-borne viruses. So, you know, the objective is to get you in and out, as quickly as possible, because the longer you're in there, the more exposure you have.
And I know that President Trump has been working on reducing the cost of health care. Can you tell us if he's involved with the work that you're doing right now, his administration?
I know that he's very big on transparency, which is a good thing. I think transparency is important, but transparency by itself won't solve the problem. In the example that I just gave, comparing an experienced surgeon to an inexperienced surgeon, the charges of the inexperienced surgeon might be, and it's really of the hospital because the surgeon gets paid the same, but the total cost might be $90,000. The experienced surgeon, the total cost might be $30,000. And if you just had transparency into the cost and you have a $5,000 deductible, it's going to be the same if you go to the one that has charges of $30,000 or if you go to the one that has charges of $90,000. So a lot of people would say, look, if I'm at the same $5,000, this $90,000 provider is probably better. So a lot of people might make the wrong decision if they only had transparency of pricing.
Well, let me ask you about the transparency. What you're pushing for, is it just cost or is it the records of the providers, more information for the patient to make a decision than just the cost of the procedure?
Well, there have to be a few things. You know, I believe that absolutely has to be transparency. I agree with the president on that. There's no question. But then in addition, there needs to be transparency in quality and outcomes. And there also needs to be some incentives for, you know, the patient, the employee, to use a lower cost provider, more cost effective provider. Without those incentives, the patient might still make the wrong choices. So we want to give them the tools, the transparency, and the incentives to pick a more cost-effective provider.
And can you tell me, as far as transparency, what are states doing to protect their citizens?
Well, you know, insurance is regulated at the state level but it's also regulated at the federal level. There's two kinds of regulators depending on what kind of a health plan you have. So a lot of the states have passed transparency laws that require hospitals to post their prices and things like that. A number of states have done that over the year. But one of the larger expenses that any state has is paying for the health care for their state employees. That can be a huge cost. And a couple of states have been really effective in changing their health plan to one that has very little price variance. Montana has done it, North Carolina has done it, and there are a few other states that are looking at it.
Do you believe that improves the quality of care?
Yes, I do. And the reason for that is, you know, as I illustrated, sometimes the more cost-effective ones are better. And allowing competition, okay, just like when you have a good accountant or a good attorney, that person is going to cost more, but they're going to get it done much quicker. So overall, the cost will be less. And the same holds true with doctors. An efficient doctor can do it so much quicker. And, you know, they have usually, you know, privileges at several hospitals, and they can say, well, if you go to the surgery center because you're a low-risk patient, we can do it as an outpatient procedure and save you money. So we need competition, which we don't have in healthcare right now.
Now, tell us about MediBid, your company.
Okay. So what MediBid is, very simply, any kind of medical care that you need, you go online, you make a request. The request is sent to over 120,000 doctors, and those doctors have the ability to, you know, give you a bid on the total cost of care. You'll see their not only their price, but their quality, their outcomes, and their location. And sometimes by traveling, you know, just a couple hours, you can save tens of thousands of dollars. MediBid works with employer-sponsored health plans as well as individual.
And do the employers ever pick up the cost of travel if their employee is going to save, say, $20,000 by traveling?
Yes, they usually do. They almost always do, because it's going to save their health plan money and keep costs down. So they usually will cover the cost, and sometimes they even give an incentive, such as, you know, waiving the deductible or something like that. We have some employers that, you know, we've created health plans for that, you know, cover everything: emergency room, inpatient procedures, outpatient procedures, for sometimes under $300 per single person per month. So, and that's with a zero deductible. And it has a zero deductible because we have the competition by the doctors.
Now, how would this work for a Medicare patient, someone with Medicare and maybe a supplement?
Well, unfortunately, Medicare is, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Fortunately, Medicare is also studying methods to reduce costs. They did talk to us about a year and a half ago about medical bidding. They had been thinking that that might be a reform that they might take. They haven't moved in that direction yet. However, you know, and Medicare is sort of, it's similar to the Canadian system, where it's sort of like a single payer thing. You know, you can't pay the doctor any additional except what you can get through the supplement. So Medicare is a tougher program to control unless you control the whole thing. It's tough for an individual to take it in their own hands.
Well, we're going to take another break, and when we return, we'd like to hear about the legislation that you have been championing across the country.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People News, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
I'm back with my guest, Raf Weber. And so, Raf, I understand that there's a bill in Tennessee that you think that constituents should be aware of.
That's correct. It's House Bill 1366. And what it does is it takes the state employees, the teachers, and the higher education workers, and it creates efficiencies in the health plan. It will remove that preferred provider network with that huge variance in charges, and it will replace it with something that has transparency and competition, as well as incentives for the employees to get more cost-effective care. I feel it could reduce the cost for the state of Tennessee by upwards of $100 million a year.
So where does it stand in the legislature? Is it something that both parties are interested in, and would Governor Lee be likely to support it, or is it something that the insurance lobby is adamantly opposed to and they would be exercising their might?
Well, I'm sure that they would be opposed to it. It reduces their profit. I do believe that the House and Senate leadership is both very interested. I know that health care is one of their top priorities, and making the system more cost effective is very high on their agenda. So I'm sure that both sides will support it once the bill gets introduced.
And can you tell us who in the House and Senate are sponsoring the bill?
In the House, it's Representative Mike Sparks and Martin Daniel. In the Senate, there we are talking to several senators, you know, that we would like to have sponsor it. We haven't gotten a decision yet. So, rather than saying who we've talked to, I'd like to wait until somebody does pick it up.
Well, what advice would you give the listeners, regardless of whether they're in Tennessee, about what they can do to protect themselves when it comes to these rising costs? Like, what are the action plan? What are the action steps for the consumers?
Okay, let me talk about employers first, because it's much easier for employers. Employers can do what Tennessee is looking at doing, what North Carolina has done, what Montana has done, and that's called reference-based pricing. What reference-based pricing is it looks at how much the health plan has paid in the past, and it says, okay, and let me just, use some averages. For example, if the health plan has paid an average of 150% of what Medicare pays, in other words, 1.5 times the Medicare reimbursement rate, then you set your cap at that. And then you say anybody that has excess charges that are more than 1.5 times what Medicare pays, the plan won't pay. So, that's how, employees and employers can really take control of the healthcare system and the costs and bring them down. So, that's the first thing. For individuals, it's much more difficult unless they're on an employer-sponsored health plan, and most Americans are, that aren't covered by Medicaid or Medicare. Most of them are covered by an employer-sponsored health plan. So employers have the ability to do this. Individuals have much less opportunity to do that because they are basically restricted to what's available on the healthcare exchange, the government, run exchange.
But I actually know some people who are wealthy, who self-insure, and they call hospitals and doctors and they negotiate their own pricing. Is that rare?
Mm-hmm. It's getting less and less rare all the time. And basically that's the service that we provide. Anybody can call around and get pricing, but because we have 120,000 providers signed up, we send it out all at once and they all get the opportunity to bid. So we kind of do a lot of the legwork for you.
And in the time remaining, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you got involved in healthcare, in the healthcare industry?
Well, as you mentioned in my introduction, I'm originally from Canada. My former wife was crippled by a 2.5-year wait for orthopedic foot surgery while we were in Canada. And, you know, we just couldn't get to the top of the line. You know, there is rationing, as you mentioned in your interview with Pastor Broden, there is rationing in a single payer system. So, and the doctors usually shut their offices in September of every year because they've seen their maximum quota, what the government will pay them for, and then they don't open until the spring. So eventually we decided, you know, let's move down to the States. So we did. You know, packed up the family, moved to California originally, then Tennessee, and now Texas, you know, because of these, you know, long waits on government health care lists.
Well, that's a very interesting background. And any closing thoughts? Because we're coming close to the end of the interview, and so I want to give you an opportunity to speak directly to the listeners again about what you believe they should do if they want to see reduced healthcare costs in America.
Well, you know, if they have an employer-sponsored health plan, they should encourage their employer to get a plan that has not only lower premiums, but lower out-of-pocket costs that allows competition and transparency to happen. Because in all segments of the market, it's competition and transparency that bring down costs. For example, if they didn't make TVs in Korea, Samsung and LG, we'd all be watching 19-inch RCA televisions that would cost $800. If they didn't make cars in Japan and Korea, we'd all be driving Edsels, you know, that are hugely inefficient. So we need not only a national marketplace, but an international marketplace. Sometimes it saves you a ton of money going overseas, and you don't have to go very far.
Well, on this show, we don't push that too much.
Yeah.
On this show, well, we try to focus on America a little bit when it comes
to
healthcare.
But we have an American hospital in Mexico, American surgeons, American owned, but because it's in Mexico, it's less expensive. And most of our patients will travel from Houston to Phoenix, from Chicago to Portland. You know, it's domestic U.S. travel. So 99% of our patients stay local. So, you know, and even there's a lot of competition that can bring down prices.
Well, thank you so much for educating us about this very important topic. And I know that I learned some things today, and I follow the healthcare debates probably closer than the average person. Yet there's so much, so many things happening and so much to be learned. And so I thank you, Ralph.
Yes, for there sure is.
Spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me on your show, Dr. Swain. I enjoyed it.
And for my listeners, remember, it's up to us to be the people who change America and our world. And when it comes to healthcare, this is an area where we need to be active. We need to contact our legislators at the state and federal level and let them know that we expect them to do something to reduce costs. And we want them to work harder to eliminate the middleman. We want direct access with our physicians. The middleman is not needed, or the middlemen, depending on whether we're talking about hospitals and suppliers or with the patient doctor relationship. So we can do more. So thank you, and keep the faith, and remember, it's up to us. There's no one to save us, so we have to get out there and make it happen. Be the people.